also know that I don't have the power to bring that change about within myself. And the calendar clicking over one extra day is going to do nothing to change that. But I do know what does work. My experience has been that the slow, gentle, deep internal working of the Holy Spirit in my life has the power to change me and all of us from the inside out. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. There is more power than we can begin to imagine, than we dare ask or imagine, if we let him move in our lives. In our reading this evening, John the Baptist is pointing to Jesus as he does his whole life. He points to the Lord, and he refers to Jesus as the Lamb of God. Now, nowadays, we hear the word lamb, and we probably think Sunday roast, or for the vegans and veggies among us, frolicking lambs in springtime. But in this time, lamb was almost synonymous with sacrifice, probably even before mealtimes, because it was so expensive. A lamb, a sacrificial lamb, would have been the immediate association. And the message that John is bringing is clear. Jesus is going to lose his life. He is going to become the sacrifice for us. Be under no illusions whatsoever. He is the Passover lamb. And with that comes great and glorious news for the Jews. This is a new story. This is a better story than the one they have been able to live so far. This is their new exodus through Christ. And later on in this gospel, we see that Jesus begins to upset some peoples, particularly some religious people. He smashes down some walls, he breaks down some barriers, and it becomes clear that this new story is not just for the Jews. This new story is for the Gentiles. That means each and every one of us. This new story is for us all. N.T. Wright said, God's rescue operation is going to move. It's going to move out wider than Israel. It is going to embrace the whole of creation. This is not a story just for those of a certain pedigree or background, for those with a certain certificate of belonging or certificate of achievement. It's not for those from certain prestigious universities or even just for those who dropped out of school at the age of 13. This story is absolutely everybody's who chooses to say yes to him. Because he will pursue us with his love. He will pursue each and every one of us with our love. Whatever our accent, whatever our social demographic, whatever our background or age or color, creed, ethnicity, he will pursue us with his love. And in following him, we seek to reciprocate. We seek to love him back. And this year, the year of our Lord 2020, I resolve one thing alone. I resolve to follow him. That, if any, is my New Year's resolution. I commit again to following him with all that I can. What does following him look like? I want to spend the rest of our time together now thinking a bit about this. And some of you may have seen, I posted this on my social media recently. There's a slide coming up. This year, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to hang out with sinners, upset religious people, tell stories that make people think, choose unpopular friends, be kind, loving, and merciful, and take naps on boats. And I laugh at the last one, but actually, it's probably one of the most important ones on the list. We need to take more naps in boats with Jesus. If we find that there is absolutely no still time in our day, in our diary, it may just be that we are not effectively following Jesus. He longs to be still with us. He longs to quiet us with his love. I know this is hard. I'm preaching to myself here. I find it so difficult. But he has a way of bringing things into line when we make that space and time to be with him. Other ways to follow Jesus. The NIV translation of the Bible that was read this evening entitles this passage, John testifies about Jesus. John testifies with his words, he testifies with his life, with his actions. And I long for that to be my epitaph. I want to do stuff that looks a bit like Jesus. I want to shake a few people up. I want to tell stories that make people think. I want to break a few rules for the sake of Christ. And I want to really, really, really love on people. I want to really love people. I want to follow him by doing these things. I want to look back and say, yes, that was my life. I loved on people. Because this is a two-way process. I want to love on people because I know what it is to be loved on. I know what it is to be pursued by the one who made me and died for me. And in part, Jesus died so that his spirit would be poured out on each and every one of us. Not confined, but given away freely to all who seek him, on all people. And there was a time when the presence of God dwelt within a temple, in a box in a temple. And at the death of Christ, the curtain was torn and the Spirit of God was poured out at Pentecost. And as the Spirit is poured out on us, the temples of the Holy Spirit, so we are swept clean. So we are made right again with him. So we are filled and equipped and readied to go out and follow him. And this is a two-way process. We receive first. So what does that look like for us today? The Lord is and has always been searching for open, ready, soft hearts, for people who want to be molded and made. And he will never get tired of this searching. He will never get tired of loving on us and pursuing us and seeking to break down our barriers. The disciples were just really ordinary folk, probably a bit bemused to find themselves in the position that they did, possibly a bit confused, but they'd heard of something of God's love. They tasted a bit of this grace and they wanted to know more. And perhaps that speaks for all of us here tonight. Just really ordinary folk. Perhaps slightly bemused to find ourselves here, but having tasted something of the love of God and wanting to know more. Wanting to be better equipped to tell more. Wanting to be more like him in the people that we are. Wanting to follow him more effectively tomorrow than we managed to do today. And I know I long to follow the Lord more, but it won't come through my striving. It won't come through any New Year's resolutions. It comes through encounter with him. So let this year, 2020, be the year that we press into him. What does following me look like? I asked that question, and when I was preparing this sermon, sitting in my study, and had some worship music on in the background, and Oceans came up by Hillsong, which I think we're singing later, I think. And the words just struck me as absolutely spot on. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. We walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet would ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. It is in the presence of God that we are changed from the inside out. And so my resolve this year is to dwell in the house of the Lord, to make space for him in my life, not necessarily just in this building, although I love it and I want to get those doors open as much as humanly possible. So the message goes out to our community. This is your place. Come and be, come and encounter, taste and see. The Lord is good. But I want to relentlessly pursue the presence of God, both individually and corporately as a church. I want to pursue intimacy with him, time and space, seeking to know him better and allowing myself to be known by him. Because of course he knows it all. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, and yet we put up barriers and walls and we distance ourselves. But when we are reassured by an encounter with his grace, that nothing we can say or do will stop him loving us, so we bring those walls down. So we deepen our intimacy with him. So we carve out time with him. And so we are shaped and molded by him to become the people we were meant to be. And unlike any New Year's resolution, this is a deep and an internal thing that has eternal consequence. Not just for the 3 weeks of January, before it all wears off. So let us relentlessly pursue the Lord this year. There are so many ways in which this is happening in the life of our church already, and we're built differently, and this looks different for each of us. One of the ways I really meet with God is in the joint church's prayer meeting once a month. It's 1 hour once a month, and I don't know what it is, something about coming together, but I walk in that place and I can sense the presence of God. I really encourage you to come if you've not been before. Through serving our community, some incredible things happening to serve our community through this church right now. It is so exciting. Through Alpha, just proclaiming that good news of Jesus. This is good news. Come and hear. Through stopping and being. Not hiding in our Martha ways, doing and doing and doing and busy, but making ourselves stop, taking naps in boats with Jesus. I want to pursue him. And that will be different for each of us. For some of us, that will be predominantly in our workplace. What would it look like for you to pursue Jesus in your workplace? For those who don't work, wherever you spend the majority of your days, what would that look like to pursue Jesus in that place? For those of us of kids, loving on them when they're being absolutely vile to us would be pursuing Jesus. Refusing to find our identity in the things that we do or in the stuff that we own. For some of us, that might be what it is to pursue Jesus. Allowing that love that we have encountered to seep out of us to every person that we encounter. Little fingerprints of Jesus wherever we go throughout our day. Perhaps for some of us, following him will mean insisting on taking care of ourselves. Loving on ourselves as he loves us. Not doing and doing and doing, but just being before him. Quieted by his love. Turning off Netflix a bit more, putting down our phones, turning our devices over, becoming still, finding something of beauty and gazing on it, drawing it, singing it, listening to it. And if we don't see it, let's make it. Let's create the beauty that we long to see in this world. Because when we encounter God, we are inspired to creativity in many different forms. I want us to follow him with everything that we are, with every word and action and thought. Christmas Eve just gone at 9 p.m. I was doing what I suspect most vicars up and down the land were doing. I was desperately trying to stay awake for the midnight service. I was wrapping my kids' presents that I hadn't had time to wrap before Christmas Eve, and I was drinking Santa's port. And Finn and I watched the BBC adaptation of Christmas Carol. If you haven't had the opportunity to see it, I think it's still on iPlayer. It's absolutely beautiful. I recommend it to you. And there was one particular scene, and I watched it and just felt tears in my eyes and turned to Finn and just said, that's going to make it into a New Year's sermon somewhere. So here we are. You know the story, of course. Scrooge is visited by three spirits, and those three spirits show him the harm that he has done to others through the course of his life. And they also show him the harm that he will do if he doesn't change his ways. For the sake of tonight's analogy, please replace three spirits with the Holy Spirit, and you'll see what I'm getting at. because there is a radical change within Scrooge. There is a radical change in his heart that does not come about because he has read a self-help book or because he has made a decision or because the calendar clicks over another day. He changes because he's had an encounter. He has had an encounter that does a great work within him. And fascinatingly, and I think the clip we're going to watch in a moment illustrates this beautifully, this doesn't leave him depressed or beating himself up or feeling bad about himself. This leaves him full of joy. He's full of joy and a determination to live differently that you can see is just going to pour out of him. He doesn't have to strive for it. It is within him because he has been changed and equipped. To make sense of this clip, in one of the premonitions that he had, he was visited by a spirit who told him that Tiny Tim was going to meet an untimely death by skating on an unsafe ice rink. Let's watch the clip. Thank you. An action taken on behalf of another without expectation or reward. An action taken on behalf of another without expectation of reward. That, to my mind, is just the definition of grace. And he has encountered being given another opportunity. Scrooge is given another chance. And so it is with us when we come to the Lord. And that changes us. The encounter of what Jesus has done for us. And I find it remarkable because Scrooge not only is enacting something on behalf of another with no expectation of reward, but he's actually risking his own life when he goes out on the ice to do it. And he knows it's unsafe, but he's willing to do it, and he's willing to do it gladly for the sake of another. He has been changed from the inside out. And the power and the presence of God can change us from the inside out. Later in that episode, we see him visiting his employee and ailing son, Tiny Tim. And while he's there, he says this: "My final item of company business is to draw up a check for £500 made payable to you New books for you, Tim. Ice skates for you, Belinda. Tim says, Mum, how does he know about my ice skates? I know these things because I have been shown them by the spirits. I have been visited by spirits who have been summoned to grab me by the throat and drag me to a bright mirror so I can see the truth. Tiny Tim asks, Is this what happens when someone drinks laudanum, Mum? No, he replies. This is what happens when someone finally understands what it is to be human. To be fully human and fully alive, we must seek to follow the one who was fully human and is fully alive. We must seek to follow him. And when we go looking for Jesus, we find him and we realize that he has been pursuing us our whole lives. And that moment of encounter will stay with you for the rest of your life. That will change each and every one of us from the inside out. That will beat any New Year's resolution you have ever made by way of becoming more of who you were intended to be. Follow him, pursue him, make space for him, and enjoy discovering that he has been doing that for you your whole life long. Let's pray. Lord, give us a hunger for you. Give us a deep and unstilting desire to follow you this year, to be shaped by you. Give us the discipline to carve out time for you. And let the love that we encounter from you flow out through us as we seek to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.